Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Start with me. Everybody says, Lord, start with me. Do you really mean it? I said, Lord, start with me. Fall on me. Fall on me. Spirit of God, Spirit of the living true God, fall on me. Fall on me. Start with me. Change me first. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give him a huge hand. Come on. Give him your best. I know we got half the church at a picnic right now. Woo. There's that song, Look What the Lord Has Done. You ain't seen nothing yet. Have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat real quick. Give the band a huge hand, guys. Power of God is upon these guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Well, we are back from a month. We were our first Sunday back from our sabbatical. 1 month sabbatical was last week, and we were so excited to be back. I want to take you quickly into what I believe is a very important series that we're going to begin over the next several weeks. But before I do that, I want to bring everyone knows Herman and Tammy and the girls. Everybody knows them because this church has been so acquainted with them. Not only have they been here, but we've been in their home. Gene and I have been in their home. We celebrated Christmas with them 1 year. They've been here. They celebrated an air mattress losing all of its air in our home one time. I woke up, came downstairs. Herman and Tammy are so gracious. We blew this thing up. I had more holes in this thing. We glued it. We taped it, and then we glued it some more. We were just praying, you know, don't depend on my faith for an air mattress. You can depend on it for healing, but don't depend on my faith apparently for an air mattress. So we came downstairs and they were up already making coffee. I love that they'll make themselves at home in our home. Can I get rid of this? Can I go to my mic? Okay, I'm gonna give this to Herman because I'm gonna bring him up here. And so I go downstairs and there is a flat mattress. I went to Herman, I said, hey, Herman, when did that thing deflate? He says, oh, no problem. It's about, oh, I don't know, midnight, 11, something like that. I'm like, man, you are gracious. No problem. They are so gracious. I love this guy. Would you welcome to this platform? They are part of this church. They are part of SCRC. They are part of our family. Always will be. So you are welcome home to this platform anytime. Come on up here. My friend, my brother. Herman. There you go.
My back is still hurts. Charles, joking.
Tammy,
good morning, everybody.
Come here. I got to get Tammy up here, too, just
Please.
Real quick. Please welcome Tammy to the platform. Love on the girls after service. These are missionaries to Guatemala. If you haven't caught on yet, they are our missionaries to Guatemala, and we are thrilled to have you here. Awesome.
It's so wonderful to be with you guys. Feels like home. And if you don't feel at home, something is going on and it's not right. But just worshiping God this morning, it felt so good.
Praise
I'll give
God.
The microphone to my wife because otherwise I'm just going to keep going.
Being back where it's English, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, I know these songs. I can sing right along. I don't have to be like focused on, wait, what was that Spanish word? And it goes by so fast. And yeah, this is definitely home. This is great. It is definitely wonderful to be back and see so many familiar, loving faces. Can't believe it's been a year since we were here last. And I just wanted to challenge all of you with something that I am being challenged with, because I would imagine we're all the same, right? And God is faithful to speak to us and to challenge us. Am I the only one that's challenged? I hope not. But I'm going to share my challenge with all of you. So I have been pretty much stuck in the book of Philippians for months now. I just can't seem to get out of the book of Philippians. And it tells us to rejoice. How much? Thank you. Rejoice always. Pray. How much?
Without ceasing.
Right. Give thanks. Right. Is that easy? No. Not in my life. Because in my life, I'm faced with all sorts of, you know, challenges and unexpected difficulties. But rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances.
Right.
And, you know, I catch myself with my girls. Stop complaining. Be grateful. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever had to say that to any of your children. But, you know, I say that to my girls. Our girls. And they're not just mine.
Don't ever feel left out, do you?
They're yours, too. And so, I'll tell them that. And then the Holy Spirit will be like, so what were you just complaining about? I go, yeah, right. But I notice it's really hard to be in fear or to be discouraged or to be in doubt or any of those negative things if you are rejoicing, if you are praying and laying those fears and concerns at the feet of our Father, if we're giving thanks. Try being thankful and grumpy at the same time. I'm not that good. We serve a large, enormous God.
Yes, we do.
Just for a second, just try your brains. How big is God? Just try to get your brains around that. How big is he? I mean, as a little kid, you sing that song, he holds the whole world in his hands. The whole world in his hand. He just breathed the stars into being.
Right.
All right. So now, what's an issue? What's a challenge that you're facing right now in your life? Does your faith match that big God? It should. We need to stir ourselves so that it doesn't matter what we're up against. We're rejoicing. We're praying. Amen. We're praising because we serve a God that is larger than our little puny brains will ever comprehend.
Right.
He's faithful. He loves you for his name's sake. For his name's sake.
That's right. That's right.
Prayers will be answered.
Right.
People will be healed. Financial release. Whatever you might be facing today, rejoice, pray, give thanks, and stir your faith because nothing is impossible.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I have 1 minute, so let's see what I can do in 1 minute.
No, you're good.
We started Gratia this year with 10 pastors. And praise God, we finished and graduated all of them last month. So in a couple of weeks, on the 28th, we start with another 10 pastors and their wives.
Amen. Amen.
So it has been a challenge. I was accustomed to have 10 to 13 per year. Now this year, we are going to do 20 pastors and their wives are going to be equipped. They are going to learn more about God, and that is extremely exciting.
Yes, it is.
And I thank you, all of you, for standing in prayers with us. Many of the things that we do, we could not do it if you guys don't pray with us.
Amen.
Pastor Barry, Herman, how are we doing? How can we be praying for you? So he's representing you. So when he calls, I feel like all of you are calling.
Amen.
When he said, we are praying for you, that means that all of you are praying for us. So I thank you very much for constantly be with us, praying for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And when you remember us, on the 28th, we start with new pastors. So please pray that everything will go well and smoothly.
Amen.
As it did the last 6 months. And God willing, at the end of the year, I'll be here again and give you a quick update on what has happened. Do I have one more minute?
Absolutely.
Thank you. As a testimony of what God is doing, one of the pastors, two actually, said, it has been years. We equipped them how to go out and preach and give their testimony in 2 minutes. So we trained them, they learned, and they said, oh, that was easy, we can do that. So the teacher said, you can do it? Yes. Okay, let's go out. So we went out. 10 people accepted the Lord that afternoon. And then later on, two pastors said, you know what? I am culpable of not doing what I was supposed to do. I was not going out to share the gospel. I was accustomed to, hey, people, bring your friends. Bring them in. Bring them in. But Ezekiel 47 says that we have to go out as a water of living waters. We need to go out. And that's what they are experiencing now. They are going out instead of coming in. So my invitation to you is that go out. This morning I was reading Hebrews 11. Everybody knows Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith. So by faith, everything is started by faith, this. By faith, this. So brothers and sisters, I challenge you that by faith, you go out and talk to somebody. By faith, you said, I am committed to this church and I'm going to serve. By faith, I see this need, I'm going to meet the need. By faith. And you will see the things that you will be able to accomplish by faith. All the pastors come to study by faith. And now they are seeing the results of stepping out in faith. Tammy and I step out in faith. My family step out in faith. We were supposed to be in Guatemala for 2 years. Now it's been 3.5. And we are not coming back yet. So we will be waiting for all of you with open arms at the right time. Amen.
Let me pray with you guys before you, let me pray with you. Girls, come up here real quick. We want to pray with you guys. I want the church to stand up. Come on. Andale, andale. Rapido, rapido. There you go. Okay, let's pray. Extend your hands towards them if you would. Ushers, get ready. We're going to take an impromptu offering. We're going to take an offering because we love. This is what the Spirit has spoken to me. We're going to do. This is not your tithes. This is not your general giving. This is, while I'm teaching, I'm going to ask you to just ignore me. No, listen, you're going to check in. You're going to check in and write. All the women in this room know how to do multitasking, so I'm asking all the women to write the checks. Men, stay with me. Said enough. Okay. So we're going to pray for them because God's hand is on them. This family was actually here in O'Fallon for 10 years. 12 years? 15 years here in O'Fallon. God's hand was on them. They were very successful right here in the O'Fallon area. Gave up successful jobs right here in O'Fallon, a home church right here in the metro area, and God sent them to Guatemala. That's obedience. That's obedience. I've had the privilege of teaching in the Bible college multiple times. Herman is my interpreter in the churches that I don't know what he preaches, but it's really good.
Great.
No matter what I preach, he makes it better, and it's really good. You know, because I'm not that good, but the Lord is good through Herman in the churches that I speak in. And so this brother and this family sacrifices amazingly to bring the gospel into Guatemala. Not just Guatemala City, into the country and the people of Guatemala. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that your hand would continue to be upon Herman and Tammy and the girls that you're blessing. would go before them, that, Lord God, in all that they put their hand to, that the favor of God would be multiplied in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that the favor of God would be multiplied upon them as a family. I ask you, God, for your protection upon them, that you, Father, would in the name of Jesus Christ place such an anointing, a double portion of anointing upon them as a family. I ask, Father, that wherever they go, that just like the disciples before the Sanhedrin, God, that the words would be said, I can tell you've been keeping company with Jesus to this family, to the Chahon family, in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Give them a hand, if you would, as they have a seat. Go ahead, guys. Thank you. Welcome home. We are thrilled. I'm telling you, if you would, ushers, come on forward. Ushers, come on forward. Go ahead and start to, if you want to do cash, you can do cash. If you want to do checks, that's great. This is a completely separate offering for these guys. I don't know who's going to be, but just so you know, Dan, whoever is back there, go ahead and separate this completely if you would, because we're going to receive our regular tithes and offerings in a few minutes. Heavenly Father, bless this gift to the Chahons from the heart of the family at SCRC. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. As you give, I'm going to go ahead and just get you to open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go ahead and teach as the offering goes by. So stay tuned, if you would. We are going to open a series this morning, and the series is just simply about the five purposes of the church. Back in 2000, in fact, it was actually late 1999, I went to a boot camp. It was called a church plant boot camp out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I began to get, this was literally 5 days of intense boot camp kind of training. 90 went in, about 45 remained by the end of the week. Because that many had become so discouraged, I saw them weeping, leaving in tears. And I heard many of them say, I am not a church planter. I didn't know what kind of tenacity it was going to take. I didn't know the kind of perseverance, Pastor Harvey, when you church planted. They didn't know what that was going to take. They didn't know the sacrifice to their family that it's going to mean to them as a family unit. And almost half of them literally were gone by the end of the week. And I called on Wednesday. I told Gina, some of you have heard this story many times. Stay checked in if you would. I told Gina by the half week, I understand why they're calling it boot camp. I really did understand it. I mean, it was early to bed, early to rise. And it had nothing about being wealthy or wise. It had everything to do with intense, intense, intense teaching of what the heart of a church planter is. Oh my goodness. I came back feeling, I all of a sudden I realized everything I didn't know. And everything I didn't know was scary to me. But God gave me, as a result of having read a book, God gave me during that time, intense study time, on Acts chapter 2, and that's where I want you to turn, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, I came back with a vision statement. It is, if you don't know it, it's in your bulletin. Pam, yell it really loud when I get there. That thing you print every week, you and Cindy. That bulletin, it's in it, and believe it or not, it's on the front glass as you come in the door every morning. The vision statement of SCRC is on that front glass. And what I found in this scripture was the five purposes of the church. Why we exist today, and today I want to talk to you about the first purpose. Those five banners are hanging over our head every Sunday, and I want to draw attention to them again. I want to go back to 101, why the church exists, why God created you, why there's a purpose for you, not just to live and breathe and eat and die. That's part of the journey. I thank God for the eating part. I'm a little less thankful for the dying part. But I'm just being real with you. There's a purpose for us to exist as the church. Why he created humanity. The first one we're going to start with today is we were created to worship. We were created to worship. I want to read this to you quickly and then I'll get into it. Let me share this with you real quick. I've lived now 55 years. I just turned 55 a few weeks ago. And I have realized something clearer today than I've ever had in my life. We were created to worship. Man was created to walk with God, and I'm going to fill the rest of the sentences, and to worship God. The problem is, since the fall of man, it's not an issue to me if you don't believe in the literal fall of man, I do. But if you don't believe in the fall of man, I do. And in that principle, though, the fall of man, came this paradigm shift of God being all of who he is and all man would ever need, and the creation that we are, were created to acknowledge his very existence. All of the sudden, there was another factor. This paradigm shifted for the human being, the human race, and it was called me, myself, and I. It's the Trinity of humanity. And if you're oneness, don't get messed up with that. It's okay. It's okay. Don't get all, I'm okay with oneness. I love oneness. It's okay. But it's the Trinity of humanity, me, myself, and I. All of a sudden, we were having to make a choice between worshiping me, my way. You know Elvis's song? Really Frank Sinatra's, by the way. My way versus God's way. All of a sudden, the paradigm, we had to make a choice. We were never created to make that choice. Though we were created with the right to make choice, obviously. But we started making choice. Can I tell you? We still worship things. We still worship things. We have, there are those of us have these things called hobbies. And if we're not careful, we think we're really worshiping the hobby. Can I tell you still what we're worshiping? Is me. Because it's about me. What satisfies me. Before God created man, God gave his son on the cross 2,000 years ago, man was still caught up in this me thing called the law. I have to obey the law. It was still about what I did to meet the law's requirements. So at a great length, it was very much a part of what I do to please God. It was this whole thing called the law. And Jesus said, I didn't come to get rid of the law. You can't fulfill it. I came to fulfill the law. I'm just giving you a basic scenario of history here. This is the essence of what we know to be true, or we believe to be true here at SCRC. All of a sudden, it goes from, what do I do? How do I obey the law? How can I please God through the things I do and the things I don't do? Thus the Ten Commandments. All of a sudden, it goes away from what I do to what Jesus did. I got one. Let me come over here. Okay. It goes away from what I do to what Jesus did. When all of a sudden he came out of a tomb after 3 days in the belly of the earth, it was no longer about me fulfilling the law. It was about what Jesus did for me. The whole thing of giving your story, your testimony is, this is who I was. And then Jesus came into my life. And now this is who he's having me to be. This is what he's doing through me. It's the whole thing we used to call testimony. Now we call the story. But we were created to worship God. And when the fall happened, all of a sudden the paradigm battle was on. Let me have you turn again in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to get there. Here we go. They devoted themselves, 42 is the verse, Acts chapter 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles. Now you're going to find all five purposes, and I'm only going to speak about one today. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Let me tell you what, it changed. It was a lifestyle. All of a sudden, it wasn't just about sitting under the teaching. I'm talking about they devoted themselves to what they taught. This was a lifestyle transformation that took place, and they couldn't wait to live this out. This was the paradigm shift to mercy. This was all of a sudden, the remedy to the fall of man took place, and the paradigm shifted back to the mercies of God. All of a sudden, the goodness of God was the issue again. This early church had transformation. Listen to this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Let me tell you what that meant. That meant if Rick Patton had a lawnmower and I needed it, it was mine. That's what it meant. Because he willingly would give it to me. I said that one Sunday morning about 6 years ago. I was teaching this same thing. This amazing lady walked up to me and said, I need to borrow your lawnmower. I said, you're kidding. She said, no, I'm really not kidding. I need your lawnmower. I said, I would love to loan you my, in fact, I started to say, and I will, and all of a sudden Keith, our resident Marine over here, steps in. He said, and I'll mow it for you. I'm like, man, that's the early church. That's the early church. All of a sudden he says, signs and wonders. It says signs and wonders were done. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Oh my goodness. It's no longer about me. There's this spirit of generosity. This new paradigm. You catch in this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad hearts, listen, or sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor. They didn't just praise God verbally. They praised God. They worshiped God through their lifestyles. You see, it was a lifestyle. It wasn't just 10 minutes of getting the band on the platform. This was a praising God through their lifestyles. Their lives were transformed. It says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. People treated them good, didn't even know why they were treating them good. They had no clue why, but they had the favor of God upon them. Enjoying the favor of all the people. Now listen to the result of this. All the five purposes. I'm telling you, we've only read four right now. I'm about to read the fifth one. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Evangelism was the fifth one mentioned in that verses 42 through 47. Today I just want to talk to you real quickly about we were created to worship. Romans chapter 12 says this. Let me have you flip there real quick. Romans chapter 12 says this. I'm going to just give it to you quick. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, this is Paul writing. He had just written 11 chapters on the mercies of God. The mercies of God. The mercies of God. Now he didn't write them in chapters, but he had written 11 chapters worth of stories about the mercies of God. And he says, therefore, he just changed the subject. Therefore, he says, in view, listen to this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, in other words, everything I just wrote to you about, I'm urging you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do you know that everything you do that honors God is an act of worship? Anything you do that honors God is an act of worship. We limit it to this 10 to 15, 20 minute span of time often in our services we call, you know, worship, and then we call preaching, and then we... No! Everything we do is a lifestyle that honors God. If it pleases Him, it's an act of worship. In other words, it is dying to myself. What did Paul say? That I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but it's Jesus Christ who lives in me. When those things happen, our actions, our words, our thought lives. Gina, when we leave the house, Gina and I, we pray these words. Lord, be honored in all that we say, all that we do. Be honored even in the thoughts that we allow to stay in our minds. Because if it's not honoring to you, Lord, I'm asking you that you'll teach us, identify the thought and to remove the thought and be honored in the thoughts that we think upon. The word says to do what? Think upon the good things. Do you know that when you think upon the good things and you're honoring God in your thought life, you are worshiping God. He sees what no one else can see. And He is all of this worship that God is on His throne. Now, I don't know whether He sits. I'll be honest with you. I haven't got a clear picture of God yet. When people want me to explain the Trinity, I'll say, good luck. I know that there are those who want to, and I teach the Trinity, but I have to tell you, I haven't got it down. I've never seen God, and it's got, what you said is so right on. I'm sitting there going, oh no, don't even make me think that. Because it'll blow my mind. My circuits start going goofy because I don't know the makeup of God. Well, you know, it's like your body, your soul, and your spirit. No, I don't know. What I know is there is a God, the Father. What I know in my heart is there is a God, the Son, because He said so. And what I know is there's a God, the Spirit, because He said so. I don't get that. Do you? Please don't tell me you do, because there's less credibility in about everything you say after that. But I know this. If he was someone I could understand, would he be that worthy of worship? Just get that. Now, that's, Barry, don't say that kind of thing. He's going to strike you with lightning. Here, I promise, Judy's back in the house, and so I'm promising he won't strike me with lightning, at least if I'm hanging around you. No, the truth is, I have no clue. I don't know if he's sitting on the throne. I know he's high and lifted up, and there's times he's on a throne, but I know that figuratively he is on the throne of authority in my life. And everything I do should honor him. The way I speak to my wife should honor him. The way I treat my wife should honor him. The way I am in all private and in all public settings should honor him, because then I'm glorifying him. And yet, we act like there are times no one knows, and yet God knows it all. God knows it all. He says, therefore, I urge you. Do you know God will let you not worship him? But the opposite of not worshiping God will be to always worship me, myself, and I. Try and do something in between. It's just not possible. You're either going to honor God, and I'm going to honor God in what I do, or I'm going to dishonor God. There's no neutral territory. Did you know that? There's no neutral territory here. We're committed to one kingdom or the other. We're either committed to God's kingdom, or we're created to Barry's kingdom. Not you with me. I mean, y'all get that, right? Your own kingdom. You got your own kingdom. Because we all insist on my way. Have you ever heard the songs to that song? I was sitting in a funeral that I was doing over at on Mid Rivers not all that long ago. And all of a sudden, I love Elvis. I'm sorry. If anybody's mad at me, I'm sorry. But I'm sitting there going, that's the one song, as good as the song is and fun to hear, that's the one song the lyrics are like, do you know the ultimate definition of sin is my way? And I'm worshiping me when I live unto me. I prefer it to be this way. I don't want to insist, but this is what it's got to be. Do you know people, seriously, I just met with a person in Dallas during the sabbatical. And this individual was very, very legalistic in his deep convictions. And I want to respect his deep convictions, but they were very legalistic. And Gina and I are just relaxed. I am like a noodle. I'm so relaxed. Gina, you know, we went down to Dallas. We're going to hang with a guy that I had mentored. Gina and I and by the way, he loves. If it wasn't for Sherry, Charlie Pickett would not be serving God today. But he and his wife are pastoring with their children a very awesome church down in Dallas, Texas. If you don't think you made a difference in Charlie's life, he speaks it from that platform just about every Sunday, he says, that Sherry Songer is the person that was my Jesus. I want you to know, you make a difference when you go out and you win people to Christ and you give them your story and you give them your testimony and you open your life to being there for them. You're worshiping God, but you're also, you never know, you may be actually raising up some pastors somewhere. You don't know the impact of your life. It's true. They took Charlie into their home. The dude was I don't want to glorify this, but the guy was a gambling, smoking, drinking, smoking. Get that? Smoking. Dude, I mean, he did it all. And he counted cards when he gambled. He's the guy that won his first year's tuition to Bible college on the boat. He got saved one night. Nobody had any time to talk with him about, you know, there's this whole transformation thing. So he called me the next day. I'm on my way to Bible college. I said, Charlie, that's going to cost money. He said, no problem. I won it all last night playing blackjack on the boat. I said, Charlie, when you get down to Waxahachie, don't tell anybody in Waxahachie what you just told me. There's not enough grace in all of that Bible college for you to tell them that. He said, seriously? Yes. I said, no, I was cutting a head of hair at the time. I said, yes, don't tell them that. Calls me back a couple days later. Hey, he said, by the way, I drove through that gate, that front gate. I said, yeah. He said, you know what that sign says at the front gate? I said, no. He says, holiness, 24/7. I can't do that. I said, Charlie, that's the point. Nobody can do that of their own. It's a life committed to I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but if Jesus Christ lives in me, I am honoring God in the things I do, things I say, the way I treat other people, right? I'm either worshiping God or I'm worshiping me. There's no neutral ground here. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, Paul even kind of hurls an insult at you, at us rather. You know, this is what he says. Because this is the only reasonable way to think. In other words, you're squirrely if you don't agree with me. He says, this is your only, in NIV, or King James, says, it's your only reasonable form of worship. You're not even being reasonable if you don't do this. That's what he's saying. Well, the truth is, in view of God's mercy, I happen to agree with Paul, in view of God's mercy, I want to offer myself a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. That's the only reasonable thing for me to do after what he's done for me. And can I tell you something? You haven't seen anything yet of what he's got in store for you. Look what the Lord has done. I just said to someone not long ago who, by all, everything we see, is going to prison for life. And I've seen judge after judge after judge through the years say, I'm not talking about liberal versus conservative. Don't you dare jump into that subject. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's favor when repentance takes place. I'm talking about repentance that takes place. Everybody hear me? I'm talking when repentance takes place. I'm not talking about liberal versus conservative judges. Don't go there in your mind, because I'll go back to the throne of mercy. Guess where Jesus sits? He sits on the mercy seat. But I've watched judge after judge, and I finally looked at this guy and I said, you are a cat, man. You are a cat. What do you mean? I've never seen anybody with more lives than you. Seriously. But he repents and he asks God. He reminds me of David. Repenting, messing up. Repenting, messing up. Repenting. God forgave David every time. And we look at, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, I implore you, and I'm going to close, to present yourselves a living sacrifice. You are an act of worship. In your living and your, what's the word say? In him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. Do you know that's an act of worship when you're walking in the Spirit? When you're walking in the Spirit, people look at you and say, it's what the two disciples heard when they were before the Sanhedrin. I can tell you're keeping company with Jesus. Why? Because your life worships the Lord of hosts. Your attitude, you're kind. You're kind. This guy in Dallas that I met, he was so determined. He actually made the statement to me. I know I have to listen to this. He said, listen, he had all these legalisms, and I'm relaxed as a noodle, and I'm getting like a wet fish, just this wet fish across my cheek, left and right. And he kept going of all the things that you need to do. Only the priest should be serving the communion. He should be wrapped in a robe. He looks at me, he says, what do you wear when you teach on Sunday morning? I said, well, I usually look like this, and I had a pair of jeans on, I had a white shirt, and I had this jacket. Y'all think this is the only jacket I own? I'm going to tell you. Oh, I can't get around here. I own six of them. So just so you know, that isn't the only jacket I own, but I own six of them. So I solved that. I've had people come up, is that the only jacket you own? No, but I solved that problem, didn't I? So I'm not wearing the same one every week. I wear a new jacket every week. Did you know that? And you're all sitting there going, doesn't he have a different jacket? No, I own six of them. Can you tell I like it? I'm like Matlock on the TV show. He owned every one of his suits were the same suit, you know? How many of you remember Matlock? Don't act like you don't remember Matlock. Don't act like that. Am I hanging? Connect me there, dude. So everybody stand. Everybody stand up. Thank you. Everybody stand up. Look what the Lord has done. I said, look what the Lord has done. Look what God has already done for you. Is he not worthy of all the worship? Therefore, I urge you, in view of the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. because he is worthy. It's not just what he's going to do. It's true. What he's going to do is amazing. But it's also, look what the Lord has done. That's what Paul was saying when he wrote the book of Romans. Look, most agree it was Paul that wrote that. Look what the Lord has done. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, before we take this morning's offering, I ask you that you will teach us to be holy and pleasing to you. Teach us what it is, Father, to be holy and pleasing, that every aspect of our lives will be holy and pleasing in everything we do, that we will be an act of worship in all that we say, all that we do. God, even our thought lives, God, that we will be pleasing to you in everything that we will teach, that we will be taught, God, to worship you, and that others will see a life of worship in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, give the Lord a huge hand, would you? Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.